You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River.
It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
It is the midway point of your week. You'll listen. You welcome to that here shortly. Got a lot to get into today coming up at the bottom of the hour. You will hear from head coach Corey Brown, your New Orleans Gold. 12:45, Sean Fasan, Fox 8 will join us. There's a lot of things going on in the world of NFL. Agency, including your Saints. They finally signed somebody. Earl. How about that? Well, actually, two players, fullback and a linebacker. We'll get into that here quickly. And also, your Pelicans get back into action tonight. Three straight over at the Smoothie King Center as the Pels take on the Cavaliers tonight. Maybe beneficial with some of their players not playing in injuries. Hey, whatever. Only 18 games remain from that aspect. So all of them matter for sure. We'll touch a little bit on that with Erin Summers, Saints and Pelicans team reporter as well. Get her thoughts on, obviously, the Falcons and what they're trying to do. And there was a report earlier this morning that had me a little nervous. Just a little nervous. Not very nervous, but a little nervous. And that was the fact that I saw a report that had something to do about Justin Jefferson maybe wanting to request a trade for Atlanta and all that. You're like, ah! So anyway. So we'll figure all of that out and keep posted on all of that as well. Jack Benjamin's going to join us coming up here at 1:30 as they, the Nicholls State Colonels, won last night in overtime. And they will be playing for a shot to go dancing tonight. So you can hear that game again right here on ESPN New Orleans. We'll do that. Sean Fox, 2:15. Ralph Marlboro coming up at 2:30. So we will chat with him. Now, officially, it's the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
Indeed, it is the midway point of your work week. That is Broncos head coach. I need to remake that. Don't I? But are you still, like, listening to Coach Payton say that there? Thing is, I got to get, like, Dennis Allen or Willie Green or somebody to say hump day. Right? That's not the same. So we'll touch on that here as well. Some words of wisdom from Shot G. Little peace, little humptiness. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your local fly shop and paddleboard dealer, 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. As we get started here on this Wednesday, March 13th, should be fun to kind of discuss all these different topics here as well. So much happening in NFL free agency. Starting the new league year officially will start here as well. Saints getting under the cap. We'll get into all of that and more as the show, you know, gets off and running. Again, 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in if you'd like to in the conversation. Kind of went over your guest list there. We do have a bunch of open segments here as well. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRose studio.
Time now for The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right. We're going to start with the Pels tonight. I know the Saints signed a linebacker, Willie Gay. I get it. We're going to get that fullback as well. We'll do that next segment. But Pelicans taking on the Cavaliers tonight. It is a game day for the Pels, so I definitely want to start there. It's a big one. Big start of the next three games for the Pels as we reach Wednesday on a game day. Pelicans currently in fifth. Two games behind the Clippers. They lost last night. Pels got a little bit of help Now, New Orleans 5.5 games back of Oklahoma City. The Nuggets have tied them. Same record, 45-20. So they are 1-2 with the Thunder in that one spot. The T-Wolves beat the Clippers last night. They're just a half game back, and the Clippers 3.5 back. New Orleans 5.5. The Suns sit in the sixth spot at 7 games. You got a little cushion. Sacramento, 7th seed, 7.5. Remember, 1 through 6, non-play-in. 1 through 6, guaranteed a first-round series, right? 7 will play 8, 9 will play 10. The Kings are 7th right now, 7.5 back. Remember, New Orleans, 5.5 back. So you have a 2-game lead on Sacramento, plus the season series. So it's essentially a 3-game lead. In other words, Sacramento could finish with the same record as the Saints. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Saints. The Pelicans. They need to have one more win. So that's why getting those season series is such a big thing. It's going to lead me to Friday. You take on the Clippers. Clippers have to play one more game in Chicago before playing the Pelicans. It'll be on Thursday against the Bulls in Chicago. But if you beat the Clippers on Friday, you have the season series on them. So that would be a big thing. That's why Friday's a massive game for the Pelicans as well. But anyway, back to 7, 8, 9. Got the Kings at 7.5 back. Again, New Orleans 5.5 back, 2-game lead. Dallas is 8th, 8 games back. So you got a 2.5 game lead there. Or 3. Yeah, 3.5 game lead. Lakers are 9th, 9.5 back. Remember, you're 5.5 back, so a 4-game lead on the Lakers in 9th. And Golden State is 10th, last play-in spot, 10.5. You have a 5-game separation from the last spot to play in, a 4-game separation from the 9. I'm just starting there because a year ago the Pelicans were fighting for 9 and 10, and remember, that is the win-or-go-home play-in game. So, yes, you are better than you were a year ago. Your team is healthier. You're in a good spot. Bottom line, with 18 games left, can you fall to 9 or 10? Sure. Injuries would have to happen, though, I think. I don't see anything that this team has been doing as of late that leads you to think that they're going to all of a sudden go 3-7. I mean, you're going to have to go something like that in the next 10. Suffer some injuries, not play well. I don't see that. Here's the other thing, too. Over the next 2-3 weeks, most of the teams in the West will be wrapping up their Eastern Conference games. Tonight is the last of 9 straight against the East for the Pels. And then it's back to playing some Western Conference teams. And that's what's happened and what's helped the Pelicans not only move up to 5th, but kind of stay in 5th for a while now. Okay? And it's because, like last night, T-Wolves take on the Clippers. Tonight, the Lakers take on the Kings. You're going to have a lot of teams, 1 through 10, playing one another. So, it's as DeGrasse said 2 weeks ago. You're in a stretch right now. If you can get a win, you're going to move up on someone. And that's why it was so key to go 3-0 on that road trip. That's why it's so key for the Pelicans to take advantage of being here at home. Of course, you want the win tonight. Cleveland, look, they're no joke. Even though they may have some injuries, they are the 3rd seed in Eastern Conference right now. Cleveland's been playing really well. They are 41-24, and they are 10 games back of the Celtics. Kind of gives you an idea of how good Boston's been. But in the last 10, they're 5-5. They've lost the last 2, but they're pretty good. 19-11 away, and again, they are a very good. They're 3rd in the Eastern Conference and have 41 wins. So they're a good basketball team. Friday, it's a must. I mean, that thing needs to be packed out. You need to make that a playoff environment and feel, because again, that would give the Pelicans the season series over the Clippers. Then you got a back-to-back against the Trailblazers, who are 18-46, but you still got to respect them, and it's a back-to-back. At least it's at home. At least you can go to bed on Friday night in your own place, wake up on Saturday morning, and play a home game here. So that's awesome that you get to do that. Bottom line, Pels have been able to take advantage of other teams in the West playing against themselves and teams in the West and them getting wins. New Orleans, 7-3 in their last 10, have won 4 straight. Yesterday after practice, head coach Willie Green answered a handful of questions about where they are. What's the goal in the final 18? Here's the first answer.
You always have a number set of goals. You know, you have some goals that are super, super high, and you have some goals that are right in front of you that's attainable. We're always trying to be the best team that we can be. And if we can win all 18 games, well, we win all 18 games. But if not, the bare minimum is that we want to try to be 6 and above. And wherever that takes us, we'll be ready for that.
And I think that's the key aspect of it, right? And that is your goal, 6 or above. And that's why I took a little time about that to kind of paint that picture for you. I'm not saying you're out of the 9 and 10 spot. I'm not saying you're not going to be in the play-in scenario. You absolutely can be. You're not that far, you know, ahead. But 2 games over Sacramento, and again, you have the season series, so let's call it 3 with 18 to play. You know how this works, right? The magic numbers and things like that. Point is, it's getting closer and closer to where you feel more and more comfortable about where the Pels are. Jeff, going to get to you in 1 second. I want to play one more Willie Green. And this is on the fact that he thinks the team's in a good spot as well. And again, that's how I'm looking at it. I think the team's playing really good defensively. You're seeing the bounce back with Zion. He's saying he's getting closer and closer to feeling like 100%. You're seeing guys like Brandon Ingram score 7 points but have 10 assists, and his team play really well. Trey Murphy's led the team in scoring in 3 of the last 5 games. The bench is playing well. It all starting to come together, says Coach.
It's a blessing, to be honest with you. It's a blessing for our team to be healthy and to be clicking at this point in the season. And this is kind of what we projected, is that we would be rolling around this time. And now it's really up to us on how far we want to go and dialing into the details, taking it game by game, not getting too ahead of ourselves, not putting too much pressure on ourselves, but enjoying this process.
All right, so there you go. 800-998-1003. Jeff, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Gus?
Doing well, man. What's up?
That was a nice segment about the Pelicans, but I called to talk about Jameis Winston. I tried to call yesterday, but Buddy wouldn't let me on the phone. You know, you got to stop him drinking on the job because, you know, I don't know. Like, I know I'm a day late, but I tried to call you yesterday to talk about Jameis Winston. What did they do?
What now? What did he do?
I said, well, today do? I tried to talk to you about Jameis Winston yesterday, but Buddy wouldn't let me. Yeah, all right, let's talk about Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the Cleveland Browns picked him up a nice little quarterback. I know one of your guys later in the show yesterday said basically what I'm about to say, but if you look at what Cleveland did last year, I do believe they were the first team in the history of the NFL to start 4 different quarterbacks and make the playoffs anyway. I'm not sold that Cleveland is sold on Deshaun Watson. I mean, sure, that'll be one of the worst trades ever, and it's going to be an expensive cut to cut him, but it's all about winning, and if you can do better with somebody else besides Deshaun Watson, you know, let's say the Browns are in the Super Bowl. Nobody is going to care that they cut Deshaun Watson in week 4 and went with Jameis Winston. You know what I mean? I think the Browns got a good little deal there. And, you know, as far as Jameis Winston goes, I'm glad what he tried to do for the Saints, but Dennis Allen's a moron and, you know, he wants to go play, so let him go. What do you think?
I think it's a good opportunity for Jameis Winston. And it does.
Oh, by the way.
But go ahead.
By the way, in case you didn't realize this, the Browns picked up Jerry Jeudy over the weekend, so that is a very scare wide receiver group. Even John 4K could do something with those receivers.
I'll let him know that, because he still thinks he can go out there and play and throw the deep outs. Look, I do think whatever possibility you could have to maybe start, it ain't going to be here, obviously. The other thing that I saw this morning in the report was that apparently Joe Flacco wasn't even offered to come back. Like, there was no offer made to even see about him coming back, which is, it's hard to believe when you think about the fact that he was the one that kind of helped that team get into the postseason last year until you read the rest of the report. It looked like Deshaun Watson wasn't comfortable with him being in the building, and it's probably because of what you're saying. He probably didn't feel comfortable with that, and the team probably feels like they need to have a little backup as well.
Hey, hey, they just got rid of Jameis Winston, so the Saints might need a backup right about now. I mean, Joe Flacco doesn't sound that bad.
Well, that's what we were talking about yesterday on the show. Do the Saints, in your mind, need to go get a veteran backup? Or is it Jake Hanner time and you're comfortable in that aspect of it? I still think you bring somebody else in. You need to have three quarterbacks, at least in training camp. So you're going to have another quarterback at some set, you know, some point. Here as well, you're not going to go through camp with just two quarterbacks. But I'm not talking about a camp body or a camp quarterback. I'm talking about legit. Who do you feel that can come in if, you know, Derek Carr gets injured like he did a couple times last year, concussed or something of that nature, or the offensive line doesn't hold, whatever reason that you need somebody to take a snap? I don't know if I'm comfortable saying, let's go with Jake. I don't know. With this new offense, maybe it's a little different because it is that 49er offense that predicates the quarterback getting rid of the ball quickly. So, you know, Jake Hanner has some accuracy. He is very, you know, heady. He studies. He can process the field. And in that offense, I mean, you see what a guy like Brock Purdy was able to do. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if they do go get a quarterback. But I wonder when that will be.
Gus, after what I've seen from Derek Carr for a season, I'll take you at quarterback over Derek Carr.
Well, at least he didn't say 4K, so I do feel better about that. Anyway, we'll have fun with him tomorrow. Thank you, Jeff, for giving us a call, and I'll let Buddy know that you need your own special phone number. What about that?
Yeah, and I want Buddy to play against us in the NCAA tournament, too. I want to take his money and 4K.
Oh, I like that. Sounds good. We'll do a little bracket challenge here, so it will be Selection Sunday coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. 800-998-1003. Listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into conversation. Pelicans taking on the Cavaliers. Head coach Willie Green, his thoughts on the Cavs.
They're a hard-nosed team. They're a good defensive team. It's not going to be a game that, you know, necessarily offensively will be easy right off the gate. It's going to be a game that we're going to have to work at on both ends of the floor. They're tough. They execute. So it'll be a good test on our home floor.
All right, so let's see what happens. 800-998-1003. All right, Uncle Earl, just for you, because you were in a panic yesterday. You were, where's our signings? Where's our moves? What is going on? We got nothing. Nothing's happening.
We're yelling black and gold of the Super Bowl. Black and gold of the Super Bowl.
Just for you, Uncle Earl. By no means am I saying the Saints are Super Bowl bound and anybody's going to beat them. They need to win the division. I'm just, this, that's for you. They did get a signing, and it comes from Kansas City. Willie Gay Jr. It's a linebacker. 1 year deal worth up to $5 million with the Saints. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champ, and he's headed this way. Look, bottom line, good athlete. He can play, you know, the Will, Sam, a couple different positions here as well. And he's a guy that that makes plays, right, more than anything else. So I really do like the fact that one of the highlights I saw yesterday was him getting an interception. You know, Pat Mahomes was kind of going, wow, that was a heck of a play there as he picked off Russell Wilson. He was scrambling to his right, and he was able to make that play. And look, so that's something that you see. And I love his post. And it was him, you know, kind of having a good time and dancing a little bit. So he played with the Kansas City defense the past four seasons. You add the fact that Tyrann Mathieu, you know, was very happy as well that he was bringing in. He said, hey, bring some of that championship pedigree here to New Orleans, and that's a good thing. Obviously, you want that kind of juju, for sure, right? So, one of the things that, I'm trying to get exactly what he had to say on that, but he's definitely happy what he had to say getting him over here to New Orleans. So you add some linebacking help there. Again, remember, Zach Bond left, too. He went to the Eagles. So you need some depth there, getting some veteran play, getting some leadership, and, you know, that can't be a bad thing. So that was the one move that they did, aside from the fact of also signing a fullback. So the main thing that they did today, though, is the restructuring of Ryan Ramczyk, which you knew was coming and was going to happen. The thing that's interesting is that in the contract restructuring, there's guarantees in it. Normally, I guess some of the contract restructures are basically just signing bonus, changing hands, or you know, converting your salary to a signing bonus and things of that nature. Where in this one, it looks like, per the reports, there's a couple other aspects of it. Now, Catherine Terrell posted this 2 hours ago. His original contract had performance incentives for making the All-Pro team, specifically at left tackle. And they could do pregame roster bonuses, playtime percentages, incentives, potentially incentives of the team, making the playoffs, things of that nature. So it basically gave him contracts or things of that nature that he can sort of be get that money now. So the reworked Ramczyk deal is essentially one of the things that kind of, I don't know, makes it look like he's going to be here more than a year or not. I don't know. It's just interesting. It gives him the guarantees more than anything. So the base salary drops to the veteran minimum. The rest of the $6.5 million guarantees is converted. Now he can earn more money per Nick Underhill of New Orleans that football in 2025. You have a couple of other players that you can also rework their contracts to get more money for this team. Alvin Kamara has an $18.759 million cap hit. Taysom Hill, a $15.7 million cap hit. James Hurst has a $6.5 million cap hit. Juwan Johnson has a $7 million cap hit. So when you look at all the different components of it, the Saints can still go find money and still have some money and are well above now into the black to go make some moves, if that makes any sense. So essentially, to kind of go over it, I know it sounds like it's a complicated thing. Bottom line, it converted his money to a lot of different things. They reworked the contract for Ramczyk that guarantees him $6.5 million this year. So he previously had no remaining guarantees. And there you go. The cap number was $27 million prior to this. So this is going to drop it. So basically, you go from 27, and it gives you much more money to operate and go get players. So Uncle Earl, people like you and everybody else, because you need to get some depth. You need to do that. Now, Nick Underhill an hour ago says the Saints have about $15 million in cap space. So you do have some money to go and play. Again, remember, Chase Young scheduled to meet the Panthers and the Saints this week. And he's a former first-round pick over there with Ohio State. So you do have some things lining up, and you can now go get some players, if that makes any sense to you. And that's how they operate. That's how they do it, right? Get under the cap, boom, and then they go ahead and try to find some space and then go get some players that kind of help them out. I still think you're going to see a lot more of those one-year deals, two-year deals, things of that nature. I know Ralph Marlborough, who we're going to join later on in hour number three, was kind of already joking that guys like Chase Young is going to get a, you know, one-year deal worked in with another voidable year and things of that nature with their contract. But essentially, Saints do go out there and, you know, add some players. So that's where they are. And let's see what happens with Chase Young and other players that they can add to it on the defensive side of things. I am interested to see if they go into after Hunter Renfrow. It's another thing that happened this morning where the Raiders released him. And he's obviously a player that, well, you know, it's familiar with Derek Carr. So how or if they're going to go after him, slot receiver, is that somebody that they kind of feel can come into this offense and kind of help. I know a lot of people kind of talked about that last year with the possibility of trading for him or going after him and things of that nature. Look, here's what Ian Rappaport had to say this morning on Hunter Renfrow.
They are moving on from Hunter Renfrow. And yes, this is another one who was the subject of trade talks. The Raiders, well, I wouldn't say trade talks, the Raiders tried to shop him for a little over a year now, just to a big salary. Had a great breakout year, emerged as a key target for Derek Carr, and then Josh McDaniels got there. It all went the wrong way for Hunter Renfrow. He is going to be released today at the start of the league year, along with Jimmy Garoppolo, along with Brian Hoyer, and a couple others. It's going to be interesting to see what the New Orleans Saints do. They obviously have Derek Carr now, and they lost Michael Thomas. He's going into free agency. Do they have a need for a slot receiver who has a great rapport with Carr? Time will tell, but Hunter Renfrow headed out of Las Vegas.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out on that and see if that is something that will happen. And if the Saints do decide to go in that direction, we will see. We'll take a quick break. We'll try to get with NOLA head coach Corey Brown here as well, as we'll talk with him. Sean Fazan's coming up at 12:45. We'll talk a little bit more about, do they need to do some more cap spacing? Is that enough? Do they target what they want to do, and what they can actually do in terms of getting different players and such? Also, by the way, Adam Schefter 31 minutes ago saying, Little Jordan Humphrey. Remember that name? Little Jordan Humphrey returning to the Broncos on a one-year deal. So Little Jordan Humphrey on his way over there to Denver. Up next, NOLA Gold's head coach, Corey Brown. You're listening to the Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your local fly shop and paddleboard dealer. April 12th, we'll be out there doing our live remote, 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
The start of the new season for the NOLA Gold. Each and every Wednesday, we speak with head coach Corey Brown of your New Orleans Gold. Coach, first off, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, for sure. You know what's nice? It's not raining. I feel like every time we talk, it's either raining or something else is going on here. So the rain is coming in the next couple of days, but at least it's not raining currently right now. And in the field, or should I say the pitch, it was nice to you on Saturday, 2-0 to get that start there. And I'm sure you're probably happier with the way that game started, perhaps, than that first game.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to have two wins under our belt after the first two games. But I was really happy with how we played that first 40 minutes. I thought the players executed the plan and everything that we were looking for, which was great. It was just a little bit frustrating and a bit disappointing in the second 40. We sort of lacked a bit of intensity and didn't stick to the plan that we were trying to do.
34-19 was the final there. Coach, when you take a look at the first half compared to the second half, let's just kind of break that down a little bit in terms of what, you know, what went right. Obviously, you told us last week that you were going to make a focus to try to start out. That's always a good plan. But how did it come to fruition? Like, what did you guys do in that first half for people that didn't maybe go see it that allowed you to get up to a nice, comfortable lead?
Yeah, we wanted to really control the territory, so play in the right parts of the field and just be really physical and dominant with them. They're a young team that looks to throw the ball around, so I wanted us to control the speed of the game, play in the right parts of the field, and then get our maul and scrum dominating them, so then they would be on the back foot. I thought we did that really well in that first 40 minutes. I think we even had three or four tries disallowed, which was frustrating, and I think the players felt frustrated by that. So we'll get some clarification from the referees on what we did wrong there this week. And then try and make those fixes and just be better next week.
Coach, it took you all of 2 weeks to realize that the officiating in New Orleans don't get along. I'm just telling you right now, Saints fans and Bills fans feel your pain, especially when a coach goes, yeah, we're going to have to figure out what they were looking at. It. But it is what it is, I guess, from that aspect of it. Look, one of the things you touched on last week as well, that you thought you kind of had the advantage when it came to being more physical than the other team. Did you guys see that immediately in that first half?
Yeah, we did. We definitely did. And that's sort of with the players that I picked for that game, the guys that started, one of them to do that. And I thought they did a great job in that first 40 minutes. The frustrating bit and the disappointing bit was that we couldn't do that for 80 minutes. But that's sport and that's rugby. And, you know, we've got to go away and just be better for this weekend coming.
What about the second half? So you were talking about that first half. He'd get off and go. And do you think it's just... when you get up to a lead and you're 34-7, it's just kind of hard to kind of maybe stay that intensity?
Yeah, potentially. I think it's a good learning for us. I probably made a few more changes earlier than I would because of the score, which then we didn't quite have that continuity with the play and the team. And we had a couple injuries and a couple concussions, which sort of, I guess, had to make a few changes as well. So we didn't quite have the same continuity in the second half. But that's something that we've got to be better at, we've got to learn from, and our leaders have to regroup really quickly and adapt to that. So,
you've had the first two games at home. I know we talked about the attendance in that first one, second one, being able to kind of enjoy that as well. It's important, right? And obviously, to get off to a good start and a quick start to a season. But, I mean, how key is it to just, hey, give your home fans two victories from the get-go? What'd you think of the crowd this past Saturday?
Yeah, they've been awesome. It's great. You know, the noise they create and the band and the party shack and everyone out tailgating. So it's all of that stuff's been really, really well done by Nola Gold. And I think the crowd and the fans are enjoying that. So we'll hit the road this week and next week. And then I think we have a bye and then we'll come back for our home game. So hopefully we get a really good crowd for that next home game.
I know a lot of times when I talk to coaches about road games, they always kind of express, especially early on in the season, the fact that you can, you know, kind of bond, get together, and kind of feel those different aspects of just being out on the road for the first time of the season. And obviously, if you win on the road, it's going to help you get more wins throughout the rest of the year here as well. Is that something that you've kind of experienced in your time, either coaching or even playing?
Yeah, it is, and it's a really interesting one. I think what normally happens when you travel on the road is that you don't quite have the same energy for the 80 minutes, so it's about managing that 80 minutes and managing that energy through the whole game. So hopefully we're able to do that on Saturday, and that's the plan, to go up there and to manage the territory, manage our kicking game, and manage the energy of the players, because traveling away from home and sleeping in a hotel and sleeping in a different bed is all those challenges which adds to, you know, not having as much energy at home.
Well, we talked to Nick earlier this week about your next opponent, the New England Free Jacks. That's a name that if you've been following Major League Rugby, you know, right? They've been a playoff team. They've been a championship team. What do you feel about them when you see them this year?
Yeah, they're a really good side. They're champions from last year, and I think they had a fantastic season last year, and it was a great final for them to win. You know, they're a very well-established side with a great home base, and now it's up to us to go up there and really try and quieten that crowd, really take our game physically to their game and really put them under pressure, but also focusing on us and us performing well and being better than we were last week.
You mentioned last week that you guys maybe had the advantage when it came to physical aspects of it. Like when you think of New England, for people that don't get to see them as much, what kind of rugby team are they?
Yeah, they are. They're a physical team that bring a lot of line speed. So we're going to have to manage that. We're going to have to sort of be prepared for that they're going to come off the line and try and hit us and attack our breakdown. They're a well-structured side, so with good systems around their attack and defence, but they also kick a lot. So we've just got to make sure that we're aware of what they're going to do, but then just focus on us and us attacking and keeping the ball and playing in the right parts of the field.
You said that you thought when you were building this roster you wanted to use your speed, and you're kind of a team that sort of attacks like that. Is that something that you can maybe take advantage of, or are they kind of equal with that?
Yeah, it is this week. So this week we've gone with, because we can only pick 10 international players, so this week we're going with 4 forwards and 6 backs. So we're having our international 6 backs, which hopefully we can really take the advantage and really attack them in those wider channels.
Is that something that's common, Coach, where you're going to like kind of change the style or roster and how you're going to use players depending on maybe your opponent?
Yep, I want to give everyone an opportunity to play. I think I've done that in the first couple of weeks. So there's a couple more guys getting an opportunity this week. And it definitely is that, like, being from New Zealand and rugby, we really like to play an attacking style of rugby where we move the ball, we attack space, and we back our skills. So that's what I want us to be able to do and be confident to do that.
We talked earlier in the week that I didn't know this. You guys gave away, I guess, what, belts or titles for toughest players of the game and things of that nature. Anybody you want to recognize that kind of stood out in the win on Saturday?
Yeah, so for me, so Ali Lopetti won the belt this week, which he did an amazing job. I'm not sure if you know Ali's. Mm-hmm. He's actually was a flanker. He's moved into becoming a hooker, which is in the front row, and it's not an easy position to be playing when you've spent most of your time playing as a flanker, which is at the side of the scrum. Mm-hmm. And he's now going into the middle of the scrum. He's, you know, you've got to scrum more, you've got to throw the ball in, and he went around and got three or four turnovers. Was one of the top tacklers and just really nailed his job as a hooker, which was outstanding for him, and I was really proud of his effort and what he did there on Saturday.
All right, head coach Corey Brown of the NOLA Gold, as always, appreciate the time. Couple of games coming up here on the road. The next time the Gold will be over at the Gold Mine will be April 6th, so the next couple, Dallas and New England coming up. Let's see what takes place, coach. Should be fun, should be an early test. Is that kind of what you're looking at this game too as well, to see kind of where you guys are early in the season?
Yeah, it definitely is. We want to take our game to them, and we know what they bring. So now it's about us focusing on us and executing what we've planned to do up there.
All right, easy enough. Corey, as always, appreciate the time. We'll talk again next Wednesday, and good luck.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Yep, for sure. That is Corey Brown, head coach of your New Orleans Gold, as we always appreciate the time that he gives us here as well to kind of take a look at the rest of that schedule that we're talking about. New England is coming up on March 16th, as we just touched on. That's a 1 o'clock game. And again, you can watch this on the Rugby Network here as well, your view as well. And as Nick said, it's free to go check out and watch the stream there on the Rugby Network, which is awesome if you want to follow what the team does here. And next Saturday, the team will be taking on Dallas in a 7:30 game over there in Arlington. Again, they come back home in April, where they have two games out of four at the Gold Mine. April 6th, another 3 o'clock kickoff against the Chicago Hounds. They'll be at San Diego, then back to the Gold Mine on the 20th as they take on the Miami Sharks, which is a really cool-looking logo. There's a shark and a rugby ball, and I don't know if, I guess he's either catching it or he's kicking with his back fin. And then the Anthem host, the Gold over in North Carolina. That was the team that the Gold just defeated here this past week. So if you want to go check that out, feel free to go do so here as well. When you take a look at the standings over in Major League Rugby, again, that is all about the table standings, and it's about the points and wins. You guys familiar with that, with obviously when it comes to soccer and how many points you get. In case you don't, 4 points for winning a match, 2 points for drawing a match, no points for losing a match. You do get a losing bonus point if you lose by 7 points or fewer, 1 try bonus point, scoring 4 tries or more. So I'm going to keep going over this in case you don't know, so you have any idea how to get your points. But the Gold right now, through two games, on top of the Eastern Conference, that's where they are. In the East, it's New Orleans, New England, Old Glory, Chicago, Miami, and Anthem. And New Orleans has a 2-point lead on New England. So they have 9 total points. New England is 1-1. They have 7 total points. Old Glory, 5 points. Chicago has 4 points. Miami, 1. And Anthem RC has 0 points. So that's how the East looks over there. On the West, you got the Houston Sabercats and Seattle Seawolves knotted up at 8 points apiece in 1-2. In third, the Utah Warriors, they have 6. San Diego also has 6. Dallas has 6 total points. And then RFC Los Angeles has 2 points as well. So that's your look at MLR, Major League Rugby. And you look at the Gold, as each and every Wednesday we do meet up with head coach Corey Brown. When we come back, we'll talk a little Saints football with Sean Fazan from Fox 8 as we kind of go over the Ram check restructuring. Was there anything different about that on how those guarantees are? Just, it seemed a little different than other ones, and does it mean anything at all or not? The signing of Willie Gay Jr. as well. What does that mean on the defensive side? What can we expect as the Saints are about $15 million
under the cap so they can spend a little money and where that baby may go. We'll do all of that and more. We come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
For most athletes, a gradual warm-up has very real benefits and can help prepare the body for more intense exercise. A thorough warm-up helps to increase blood flow to the working muscle, which results in decreased muscle stiffness, reduced risk of injury, and often improved performance.
An effective warm-up has a number of very important key elements. These elements work together to minimize the likelihood of sports injury from physical activity. When warming up, start with the easiest and most gentle activity first, building upon each part with more energetic activities until the body is at physical and mental peak.
The first step towards your best workout is a general warm-up. You want to work for about 10 minutes and end your warm-up feeling well, warm, and sweating lightly. The purpose of the general warm-up is to raise the heart rate and your breathing. This also helps to increase the muscle temperature, which means your muscles are ready for more vigorous activity. The next step towards your best workout is sport-specific warm-up. The warm-up you do will depend on your sport. During this part of the warm-up, you should up the intensity, doing the same movements you'll be doing in your workout or event. For example, football players must work to stretch their hip flexors, quads, hamstrings, calves, trunk, glutes, and upper body. Each and every muscle throughout the body is used to maximize a football player's running, jumping, blocking, and catching potential. This series of stretches can capture each of these movements to better prepare the athlete for his position.
When warming up, start with the easiest and most gentle activity first, building upon each part with more energetic activities until the body is at physical and mental peak.
The first step towards your best workout is a general warm-up.
If you have questions about proper warm-up before activity, please contact the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at www.thibodaux.com. If you have questions about proper warm-up before activity, please contact the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Question: would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From your first sunrise to the sunset of life, we are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Visit socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
That man's got some stones.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Sean Fasan from Fox 8 joins us at Sean Fasan Fox 8. Way to go, follow over there on X. And, of course, Fox 8 New Orleans. Sean, thank you for your time this afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, Gus. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Look, I'm going to be honest, man. You guys handle the whole cap thing a lot better than I do. All these numbers and all this other stuff. But there is something different, isn't it, when it comes to the Ryan Ramczyk restructure?
Yeah, and look, I was thinking about that earlier. To cover the Saints full time, you almost have to have a. We could probably help in the salary cap departments around the NFL because we got to be so well versed, and it's because of all the things that happened. But even this one is not quite the normal
sort of way they would do it. This looks and appears like it's more of a restructured in terms of possibly getting into an extended league contract. I don't have the ins and outs of the actual numbers, but I do know it created quite a bit of cap space for this season. This was obviously the last one, or maybe not the last one, but this was one of the ones that had been targeted for some sort of adjustment based off where they were. But it just didn't look like it's the classic, you know, drop the base salary down, spread the, convert it to a signing bonus, spread it out over the life of the contract. This, with his injury and his current, you know, situation health-wise, this feels a little bit different, but the net result is still the same. That's the cap space that they wanted to get by adjusting this contract. And now they have quite a bit of cap space, $15 million under the cap.
They officially released Marcus May yesterday as well, trying to think of some of the other moves in, brought in a fullback as well. But essentially, I guess their shopping probably starts later in the week, as you saw that Chase Young plans on maybe visiting the team with a couple of other teams as he starts his courtship.
Definitely more of a tempered approach, and it's been so quiet other than the Willie Gay signing yesterday. It just feels like this has been sort of a deliberate organizational decision to hold off, get things in line financially, which they've done. And they didn't do it in a way that they've always done it in terms of, like, just the classic restructure. They buried it a little bit in terms of, you know, bonus flips and extensions with Matthew and Davis, and obviously we just examined with Ryan Ramczyk. So they got their financial house in order a little bit, and now this is when they generally start looking at some, I guess you call it some bargain shopping, if you will, whatever's next on the market. And then obviously they have Chase Young coming in for the visit reportedly. Avante Maddox was another one. His name had popped up in a report earlier in the week. So they're clearly taking the more measured approach to this free agency. And look, there's more. I know it's big news right now, free agent, who goes where, this and that. But you really look back at free agency, Gus, there's more misses than hits. So
sure.
Perhaps they're taking a little bit of a different approach.
Willie Gay Jr., he signs a one-year, $5 million deal. It comes from the Chiefs, two-time Super Bowl winner here as well. Tyrann Mathieu was excited about bringing him in here as well. Where is his fit? Where do you see him? Am I looking at this as, hey, the Saints lost Zach Bond, so you need to bring somebody in that can kind of play that role in that situation? Or where do you see him fit in his defense?
Well, it's interesting. He played some weak side, obviously, with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just got through the first three quarters of the Super Bowl. He's got great speed from side to side. He made one of the best plays of the game in the third quarter when he was able to kind of track down an escaping Brock Purdy and force the punt instead of a field goal. But I'll be curious to see. It feels like the two starters are penciled in, obviously, with the Mario Davis and Pete Werner. He can certainly step in and play the Sam linebacker position, but as we know, that Sam linebacker position doesn't always get on the field. Now, he got on the field a lot in the Super Bowl because of the personnel groupings the 49ers use, but and I think he's the guy that can certainly play the Sam, but he can play off the ball as well. He's got great speed. Feels like he's a guy that, you know, if things don't work out with a player or there needs to be some sort of adjustment, he could be there. He can provide some solid depth, hopefully add some special teams value. And it's a very low cost for a guy that could contribute to your defense. I don't know if he's a guaranteed starter, at least in the way we look at defenses now, but I do think he gets on the field.
So I thought it was interesting on that. Jameis Winston goes to Cleveland. Fans love him for especially the touchdown decision TD, but here's the question that I had when I saw that happen yesterday. Do the Saints now need to go get a veteran backup, or is this a situation where they're going to have Jake Haener be the backup? They bring in another quarterback for training camp purposes and have three on the roster and stuff, but I don't know. What do you feel? Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, do you trade for Justin Fields? I'll ask you that here in a quick second, more specifically for a reason. But I don't know. What do you think the Saints do in that role now?
I think they're absolutely in the market for a veteran backup quarterback, but I think there's also a very realistic chance Haener can ultimately become the number two quarterback, but it's got to be through a genuine competition with whoever that third quarterback is they bring in. They wouldn't just pencil in Haener as number two just right now, just because he's on the roster. I mean, this is a guy that wasn't active at all last season. Obviously had the suspension. Had a great training camp. Leveled off a little bit in some of the preseason games. But he's a guy I know they like. I know they like a lot. But they aren't just going to hand him that number two job. They're going to have to bring a veteran in. He's going to have to win that job you know, via some kind of competition. Not unlike, if you think back, this is, I'm going back on you here, but 2010, you recall, the Saints signed Patrick Ramsey from Tulane, and they thought he was going to be number two, but Chase Daniel was there. Chase Daniel beat him out, and he became the number two. So it's happened before, and I think that could certainly happen again, but not just by penciling him in. It's going to be through a genuine competition.
Right. I brought that up yesterday, and I don't know if I had a crazy thought or not, but I guess when I saw Mac Jones go to Jacksonville for six and the Saints have like 15 fifth-round picks, you know, I'm like, maybe I'll call Chicago and go, look, I'll get you a fifth four, but they can bite it or not for Justin Fields. Hear me out. If I say player A is 6'2", 221, player B is 6'3", 228. One is Taysom Hill, one is Justin Fields. Who's bigger?
Mm-hmm.
It's Justin Fields. I'm not saying that he even would want that role or not. I don't even know if that works here or not. But I'm just curious if there isn't a market for a player like that. Man, bringing in somebody with that kind of athleticism and ability, and in this offense, Sean, it's about getting rid of the football quickly. And with him, he struggled processing the field. And if I can use that mobility and stuff, I'm not saying the next Taysom Hill, but why not? I don't know. It's worth at least a phone call. Let him hang up on you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had never heard that scenario kind of play itself out the way you explained it there. But you look at his dimensions. You look what he is able to do, what he excels at. I mean,
his greatest moments in Chicago was running the football.
He's dynamic with the football in his hands. He's not a great field processor yet in terms of what he sees him going through his progression. But a little bit of a boomer bust type player, which is typical for more of those athletic style of quarterbacks. What's the price? What am I paying? If it's a fifth round pick, I don't see any harm in that. I mean, even if it doesn't work out, I don't see any harm in that with one of the four fifth round picks that they have. But something tells me the Bears would likely hold out a little bit longer to try to get a little bit better compensation for a guy like Justin Fields. It's weird how that was such a storyline and that there was hope for there'd be such a big market for him, and yet here they are, and there really isn't been, at least not one, as franchise quarterback material, which is interesting. What the NFL tells a player sometimes the market has it's cruel to reality. It is sometimes, but that's just, it feels like the way it's kind of settling in for him. But if he got so desperate and they had to take something, and the Saints were on the phone with a fifth round pick, right, and they accepted, I mean, I don't see what's that's incredibly low risk and potentially high reward right
there.
Well,
and I think about it like this. When you think about 2 years ago, right, they made a trade for Trey Lance. Like the 49ers wanted Trey Lance, a mobile quarterback like that with the big arm to run that offense and that Shanahan. That's why I'm just thinking about it. I mean, Fields, you've seen him being able to throw the football down the field. He's fast. He's mobile. He's thick. He can run. At some point, Taysom Hill's not going to be here for one way, shape, or form with the money or whatever. So I'm just curious. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Michael Thomas, for whatever it is, and however you view him, even last year, and I remember having you on the show, he was being doubled and triple teamed still. That's gone. How comfortable are you in terms of like a mattress, man? A nice comfy mattress? I need to go get one? Or what kind of sleep you're going to have with Chris Olave being the number one? Are you comfy? How comfy? What's your comfort level with that?
I'm okay with it. I think he's getting there. I think he really showed some growth last year despite having a kind of a rough middle tier portion of the season. I think, thought he finished really well. I thought he got better. And the one area where he really had to get better, and that was run after the catch. I thought there were too many times his rookie year where he caught it and just kind of fell to the ground. I thought he got better in that regard. Obviously, he's got a pretty diverse route skill set in terms of what he's able to run. He's silky smooth when he runs. He's not big. He's never going to be big. I mean, even at his biggest, he's probably going to be, 190 at the absolute most. And, you know, with a guy like that kind of speed and quickness, you always got to wonder how much weight can he really put on without damaging his effectiveness.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. I mean, they could do a lot worse there, but I still think that position in particular is in need of a veteran presence. It's in need of a veteran free agent that's going to come on the cheap and that can come in and just add a little bit of veteran savvy to that group, because I like the way the group is, the youthfulness and what they were able to do, particularly towards the end of last season and their chemistry with Derek Carr. But I also know this is a long season. And I also know that, you know, when you're dealing with young players, you're going to have young player mistakes. So to get a savvy veteran in there, whether it's a run-after-catch guy or a big physical contested catch guy, I think that would certainly help this offense and Derek Carr in particular.
Yeah, I hear you. I seen some names out there could be interesting. Hunter Renfro got released by the Raiders.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. is another name that I throw out there. Do you think it's going to be something like that?
A couple names I had thrown out there. I'm not sure what's happening with on the Tyler Boyd front. Cincinnati is a big guy that can really work the middle of the field. I am a big fan of Curtis Samuel. I haven't seen anything with him yet. Just his ability to give you some running back snaps and his run after catch ability. He had sneaky good production over the last few years. I don't think people realize how productive he was in Washington. You mentioned a couple guys in OBJ, and then Hunter Renfro pops open again today. And obviously, for most of his career, he had Derek Carr as his quarterback. So clearly, that connection is going to be established. And I guess we'll have to see if that ends up coming to fruition.
Sean Fasan, as always, appreciate the time, man. How can people get the podcast? Well, I'm sure you're going to be talking a lot more about this.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of it today. Check out the Fox 8 Overtime podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast. Check that out.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, bud.
There we go. Sean Fasan, Fox 8's the way to give a follow over there on X, formerly Twitter. Hour one was brought to you by Awake Outfitters, your local fly shop and paddleboard dealer, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. We'll be back with hour two, the Sports Hangover, on ESPN New Orleans.
Come on in, come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash Magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash Magic.
Where winners play every night and day.
Cash Magic.
If you love to play, come play with us. Right here at home at your local Cash Magic casinos with 9 locations throughout Southeast Louisiana. Come take a break, have some fun, and let us make you a